Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 6, Number 9. For the past 7 editions of Clinical Review, I have devoted time to the investigation and use of 6 commonly used recreational drugs, including caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, ecstasy, cocaine, and cannabis. This topic is enormously controversial. It stirs up excitement, hostility, fear, prejudice, judgment, hypocrisy, and a great amount of social politics come to mind. But the fact remains that approximately 98% of athletes use caffeine, alcohol, or tobacco, and no less than about 78% use or have tried cannabis, ecstasy, and cocaine. Failure to objectively educate the masses regarding these substances and educate them at a young age without prejudice or moral implication from a scientific point of view is, in my opinion, a key factor associated with drug addiction, drug abuse, and death caused by drug overdose. The issue isn't really about drugs anyway. It's about the people who use and abuse them and why. And it's also about the people who willingly enforce laws that discriminate against our personal freedom. Now, let's get on to our next topic, a fresh new topic for this edition, which is about nutrition and diet, which in my book is an acronym for Discipline in Energy Transfer. So my question to you on this edition is, do you have any discipline, that is? Discipline as it relates to the choices you make regarding the food you eat. The percentage of body fat each of us carries is always relative to what we eat, when we eat, and how we eat. Of course, our expenditure of energy through physical movement and controlled exercise also makes a difference, but we don't work out to lose fat. We work out to get fit, and that's a very important and huge distinction. Genetics is only a function of predisposition. Don't use your genetic predisposition as a scapegoat, although you will be encouraged to do so by some of your friends and certainly the medical profession. Body fat is plastic. It can go up and down like a yo-yo. So who's got control of the yo-yo? The yo-yo in my hand is under my control. So as far as I know, I've got total control of the food that I eat, when I eat, and how I eat it. And I assume so do you. What and when we eat is often a function of actually what is eating us. Emotions play a huge role in food addiction, eating disorders, and disordered eating. So do allergies. Perhaps today, more so than ever before, food has become a weapon of mass destruction. Even the so-called do-gooders, who condemn people for using various illicit substances, can legally cram their faces full of dead, sterile, empty food. Refined food is by far the worst drug of all. Prescription drugs come in at a close second. Refined carbohydrates, denatured protein, and chemically altered fats form the basis of the average diet, along with chemical preservatives, colors, and dyes. Food must be chosen with health and performance in mind long term, or the body will succumb to a myriad of modern diseases caused by the slow, gradual poisoning of every cell, membrane, tissue, and organ. Empty calories devoid of enzymes, vitamins, and minerals are deadly. They only serve to weaken the resources we need to offset the effects of training and progressive living. Training with intensity requires super attention to the quality of the food that you eat. Again, I've always said this and I'll say it again, you've got to eat as hard as you train. Counting calories is passé. Weighing food is ridiculous. Instead, count food quality and micronutrient density. You must learn how certain foods react within your system biochemically. Unlike ectomorphs or the hard gainers of the world, endomorphs or easy gainers, they can't eat unlimited amounts of food or consume staple foods high on the scale of carbohydrate density. The biological demand simply isn't there. Endomorphs dream of food, especially things like cheese, bread, and sweets. Problem is, they end up wearing most of it, and this leads to frustration, depression, and more self-sabotage. Depression, I once read, is anger without enthusiasm. Diets don't work is definitely the current theme of the day, yet millions continue to follow some of the most absurd and abstract dietary constructs imaginable. In the relative sense, most of us associate dieting with a restrictive, low-calorie food regimen designed to promote weight loss. But in the absolute sense, diet, the word itself, diet, relates to any course of nourishment, good or bad. It defines what a person eats and drinks habitually. Everyone is therefore on a diet, so the first question to ask in the context of health, fitness, and body composition management is my diet my friend or foe? If it's a foe, then the next question is, why am I tearing myself apart? Wheat flour is a major culprit, especially non-fermented, non-sprouted wheat. It's one of the highest on the scale of carbohydrate density, which means that in terms of mass, it is low in water and therefore relatively high in carbs or energy or calories. Call them what you will. I prefer to think in terms of potential energy, life force, or enzyme value that exists in food and whether that energy is being delivered efficiently. So instead of thinking of calories, I think of potential energy. And potential energy is hidden in food, and the objective of food consumption is to capture that energy, transfer it efficiently into the cell, and also use food that is rich in flavonoids and phytochemicals and enzymes and the teeny-weeny little factors that we can't see with the naked eye that are essential to our metabolism and the equation of energy. Endos love to eat pasta, bread, muffins, bagels, cookies, cakes, pretzels, mixed salted nuts, chips, pizza, you name it. Just keep going on. The list gets longer and longer. Go into any IGA or Safeway or Super Value or, you know, big major shopping center food source, and you will find thousands upon thousands of foods, none of which are really fit to eat. These things can be compared, and the foods that these people eat actually can be like drug addicts driven by what seems to be like an addiction. Like the people eat food like they're addicted to it. It seems like an addiction. It's not really, but it does affect their physiology and their mind and their body. So in many ways, food consumption is comparable to drug addicts. You take their drugs away, take this refined food away, and they'll scream. That's one of the symptoms that when you know you're hooked on food. Heavy refined carbs and even natural carbohydrates eaten to excess without the appropriate quantity of protein have an undesirable effect on blood sugar and insulin levels. The net effect long term is blood sugar instability and an increased capacity to store more and more fat. We know that when insulin levels elevate in response to the consumption of a high carbohydrate meal, especially high glycemic carbs, an enzyme called lipoprotein lipase increases, inhibiting the oxidation of fat. Elevated insulin is toxic and can even itself be converted into more fat. Endos, by nature, are fat-storing machines. Meals should be serving restricted. Watch the carbs and dairy if you want to be lean. Use low-fat protein as your anchor. It will keep your ship safe through the night while anchored in harbor. Just for tonight, just for a giggle, avoid eating after your evening meal. See what goes on in your mind. Watch what happens to your emotions. Replace the food with an evening walk or some form of physical exercise. you'll need a distraction. You'll need something to occupy your mind and keep your mind's eye away from thinking and looking at food. Exercise releases adrenaline and keeps us anorexic. This is good for endos. No, it's an absolute must. Physical activity turns off the appetite during activity, and during activity, we can free our mind and direct our thoughts from food to the future so we can do the right thing as desired and planned. Endos mustn't leave food to chance in a world where refined food rules and reigns. Late night television is a huge junk food trigger. It will set you up for snack patterns and destroy any opportunity for progress. Ever wake up feeling sluggish and exhausted? Take a look at what you consumed the night before. But endos don't need to review their evening sin. When they're up to no good, they know exactly what they're doing. The body needs an opportunity to cleanse itself, and loading up on food before going to bed, natural, whole or not, will poison the blood. It feels good going down, but feels terrible the morning after. Endos have the metabolic rate of a turtle, but because they tend to eat like birds, meaning they eat gargantuous amounts of food, they must run around like hares, and in most cases, they don't, which is why they start to store the excess fat and feel bad about the way they look. Drink a small quantity of fluid after dinner, such as mineral water or herbal tea. Be careful with the amount, or you'll get up in the middle of the night to let loose. Once you achieve your ideal body composition, a light protein shake with a small amount of low glycemic carbs and a live, fresh, omega-3 rich oil will make a good bedtime snack and prevent muscle wasting. A shake dominated by protein will actually help turn your body into a fat-burning machine. Get your mind off weight. Instead, think of composition of mass. Remember that the influence of gravity on your mass is weight, but composition of your mass is by far more important to understand, like percentage of lean mass and body fat, for example. Contracting, rotating, and bending the muscle fiber network throughout the entire region of the midsection, or what we call the core, causes internal compression of the stomach and intestines, forcing food and waste matter to move along more efficiently. Digested food is also absorbed from the intestinal lumen into the body more efficiently. Waste and toxic chemicals retained in the body through overeating and inactivity cause the body to decay and degenerate at an accelerated rate. Clog the pipes and everything backs up, just like a toilet or your kitchen sink. Every channel of elimination must remain open and clear to facilitate removal of waste, allowing the body to function with high energy and optimum health. The bowels in particular must be evacuated twice daily or the body will become a cesspool, an inevitable feeding ground for pathogenic bacteria and harmful microorganisms. If garbage from our home is not removed routinely and efficiently, it attracts insects and vermin which infest, multiply, and spread disease. In time, if left unattended, the garbage itself also begins to deteriorate, becoming a source of putrefying rot and contagious pathogens which proliferate and spread. Insects, mold, bacteria, and pathogens do not cause the garbage to collect in our backyard. They simply take advantage of it because they are opportunistic organisms. I can see it happening right now in Vancouver due to a current civil worker strike that has affected the collection of garbage. The garbage is beginning to build up, and ultimately it will contaminate the city and everyone in it if the garbage from a million people isn't cleared away. Can you believe that garbage removal in a modern city like Vancouver in this day and age is not considered an essential service? I find that mind-boggling. The same is true for the waste, however, we generate inside our own bodies. It isn't caused by parasites, germs, or bacteria, but they will thrive on the waste if it builds up inside of us. Health is absolutely related to the environment we create and manage inside our own body. For all you environmentalists out there concerned about the outside world, get focused on the inside world in your own body first. That's how it works, from the inside out. Keep it clean and keep it moving. If you understand the science of hygiene and sanitation, which are critical characteristics of medicine, the importance of keeping everything sanitized and clean, if you're doing that for yourself and you understand why, you're going to automatically do it on the outside world. Keep it clean, baby. Keep it moving. Keep the machine moving. That's what helps keep it clean also. This is one of the secrets to successful body composition management. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Dr. Michael Colgan's book, The New Nutrition. Calling fat folk sick may raise some hackles in our cringing new era of political correctness. But in cold reality, people of color are still financially deprived, weight persons still wait, and ecological executives still hump the garbage. A spade is still a spade, and the gravitationally challenged still bear America's heaviest health burden.